You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and Dog Pound. The all-new 2015 Crucial Catch Pink Gear is here at the Pro Shop at First Energy Stadium and online at shop.clevelandbrowns.com and support of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Get yours right now. Matt Wilhelm was modeling a fine-looking Crucial Catch hoodie yesterday. Gray, beautiful.
Love it.
Splendid.
You look good. ThermaFit, Nike.
Yeah.
It's great.
A portion of the proceeds for Crucial Catch retail purchases benefit the American Cancer Society. The Pro Shop at First Energy Stadium is open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. this Saturday, and 9 a.m. through the end of the game this Sunday. I have the beanie. Love it. Phenomenal. Great beanie. My daughter Arden
warm
saw
beanie
today.
Inside.
Arden was like, oh, yeah, it's fleece lined.
Yes. My wife has the same one.
She was like, I want that beanie. It's got a poof on the top. I was like, okay, you can have it. I said, after we get through October, I was like, I need to wear it through October.
The only beanie that I wear with a ball on top is when I was with the Packers and we wore our throwbacks, the ones with the brown dot in the front, you know, from 2010.
Those uniforms.
With the brown pants.
Those were horrific.
They were horrific. With the brown, the muddy brown helmet.
Ugh.
They gave us the Acme Packers, because that's what we wear. I mean, the Acme Packers hat. And it's like, it's not the way the Nike one is. It's like wool, like grandmother, you know, knitted it with her own hand with the puff on top. With the, you know, my, you know, like they, what's cool is they don't marker anything in Green Bay. They actually like stitch on a little square with your number on everything that's yours. Because they have an in-house seamstress that does everything for you.
That's very cool.
It is very cool. Very unique. My son wore it to one of his football games on Saturday.
A game that he won.
Come on.
Duh. Winning. Let's go to the phone lines now. 216-578-0850. Jock in Chicago. Welcome to the show.
Guys, how you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing well. I just have a couple observations I wanted to make, and then I'll just hang up and listen to your guys' responses. First, actually being about the whole Johnny Manziel incident, I want to start off letting you guys know I'm not the biggest Johnny Manziel fan or lover, but I think he's been treated a little bit unfairly in regards to the most recent incident he's occurred. If you were just, for example, to put yourself in his shoes, and all the information I've gathered and heard about the situation, what it really sounded like was, on his day off, he went out to eat with his girlfriend downtown. His girlfriend got extremely intoxicated. While driving home, she got jealous about another girl he thinks that he's trying to hook up with or whatever. And in that process, ended up going out of control, probably hitting him, throwing his wallet out the window, the car or the phone out the window, trying to jump off the car, which could lead to erratic driving. And even on the video that they show with him responding to the police, he doesn't sound intoxicated. And I really think we're treating him unfairly, because I think that was a situation that's more brought out things around with and less about, you know, stuff that he did wrong. And to kind of follow up with that in regards to, like, Dwayne Bowe as well, I have no understanding why he is not playing right now. To kind of piggyback off what you guys are saying, Brian Hartline, Taylor Gabriel, they're not getting it done. And I just really think that Mike Pettine is a very stubborn coach that believes in a specific Browns way. And if a player doesn't fall in line with the Browns way, they're almost dead to them, and they don't even really get a chance to show what they can perform. And in this case, paying a guy $9 million a year just to sit on the bench does not seem like really utilizing him in the way we should.
Thank you very much for the call, Jack. I agree with you in terms of the Dwayne Bowe thing. I said it. I don't understand why not give him an opportunity at this point, but, you know, that's the coach's decisions to make those type of things. As far as Johnny goes, I don't know all the information. I only know what's out there. And if you listen to the video, his girlfriend says some things that are not great. And until the truth comes out or there's an investigation, I don't need to comment on it. I think that
people are jumping
the gun on him, but it is a distraction. And I think Johnny Manziel is always going to be treated unfairly.
Yeah,
he's under a different microscope than anybody else, and that is a tough thing. But he knows that. That's the difference. He knows that. So he is going to have to deal with that and figure out a way to manage that the best. I think anybody who's been married or in a relationship has certainly had a spat with their, you know, partner. It doesn't get physical. That's not what I'm saying. But just had some type of a spat with their partner, and things can get ugly and look worse than they are. Who knows what actually happened there? And again, we're not talking about it until there is a reason to talk about it going forward. Right now, Johnny Manziel's a practice to be the backup quarterback for the Cleveland Browns Sunday against the St. Louis Rams. Jim in Akron, welcome to the show. What's up, Jim?
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. I'm kind of with you at first about the whole Johnny thing until we get the facts. I'm worried about what's going on the field. I can't worry about what's going on behind closed doors because, you know, I mean, hopefully it's not too much of a distraction. But now, to the Browns, with the way we can't take out, I think the whole league's kind of helter-skelter. You don't know which team's going to show up. I don't know if there's more than maybe two or three really dominant teams. And look how dominant everybody thinks the Packers are supposed to be. And you know, the Chargers took them to the end and almost forced them. And, you know, I think if we keep getting better, you know, I think we'll start to catch some breaks. I mean, you think, what, at least three games we had? You know, we were right there at the fourth, in the fourth quarter. You know, we lost, you know, a pick in the Raiders game and the San Diego game. You know, we get, you know, we're right there on the doorstep. We just need a stop. We got the stop against the Ravens. You know, it just really frustrating that, you know, you get that interception on the 35 or pretty close. You know, you gotta pick the right play. The pitch wasn't the right thing. I think, you know, run that big kid up the middle. You know,
his strength is too. That's where Robert Turbin's strength is running between the tackles. All right, Jim, thank you for the call. Speaking of Robert Turbin, let's go ahead and hear from Robert Turbin. I talked to him after the game against the Broncos.
How did it feel to get out there and finally play some football in 2015?
Felt good, man. I was really excited to be out there with my teammates. Waited a long time. And so to be able to come out and you know, have some fun and be able to, you know, be in a game like this with my team, it felt great.
10 carries for you. How's the ankle feeling?
Sore. It's sore, but I guess it's supposed to be.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? But you know, we'll ice it. We'll do everything we've been doing and, you know, be ready to go again next week.
So you go out there against the Denver Broncos, first action of the season, and you came out and you were clearly very physical. Was that something that you wanted to kind of impose your will on their defense?
We definitely wanted to come out and be physical. We felt that what they do well defensively is they run. And so, you know, side to side running wouldn't be our best asset in this game. We felt like downhill running and going at these guys, you know, would fit better with our game plan. And so I definitely want to establish, you know, what our game plan was early in the game.
You've been involved in some very tight games and also some not so tight games with the Denver Broncos in the past, including Super Bowl victory with the Seattle Seahawks. What did this game mean? Could you tell for the sideline, given that it was your first game playing with the Browns, how big was this game for this team?
It was huge. You know, from our standpoint, we were going in a game, you know, playing a team that's undefeated, number one, you know, defense in the league. And, you know, we wanted to give them everything we had. You know, we wanted to show that, hey, you know you're a great defense, but we feel like we're a great offense. And, you know, we can do a lot of things offensively. We got one added guy who can make some plays, hopefully, myself. And so, you know, we did the best we could. And their approach is like, look, man, we're the big dogs. We're undefeated, and that's the way we want to stay. And, you know, they were able to come out and win tonight.
Next two opponents are two that you're very familiar with, St. Louis Rams and Arizona Cardinals from your time with the Seahawks. What do you have to do to kind of get this offense back on track against some very good defensive fronts?
Well, we just got to regroup, go back to the drawing board. You know, anytime you're in a close game like this and you don't come out on top, it can be devastating. But you really cannot allow yourself to get too low in these situations.
Right.
We played a great game today. They just so happened to make one more play than us. You know what I mean? We have to regroup, stay the course, because we're doing fine. Everything we want is still out there for us. We can still win the division. We can still make the playoffs. You know, all that stuff. We just got to take it one week at a time. Next week is
St. Louis.
So that's where our focus has to shift now. Watch the tape. See where we can improve. You know, stay in a straight line. Don't get too high about anything. You know what I mean? And we can come out and we can win next week.
That's Robert Turbin, and it's interesting. You know, a lot of people talking about the play call. Once you got the interception, the first one was a sweep, and Robert Turbin saying, you know, side to side is not where we wanted to run against them. We wanted to go up the middle. He's been called the best north-south runner on this team. So hopefully, you know, this week in a similar opportunity, they're just going to go ahead and punch him right up the middle.
Yeah, and I think having played for Wade Phillips and understanding the system that he implements, that's the reference that I consistently make about a 3-4 defense with your outside linebackers setting the edge. When the edge is set and they turn it back in, you turn it back into your three monsters inside and your two playmaking inside linebackers. And that, of course, is exactly what happened when we try to stretch them outside. There was nothing there. The runner had to turn it back in, and you turn right into multiple Bronco helmets.
Yes, and that certainly was the problem there. All right, when we come back, we are going to get back onto the phones, 216-578-0850. We're going to go around the league at the bottom of the hour and then back into the mailbag. So if you want, got questions for us, you can call us, 216-578-0850, or tweet us, at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35, or at Browns_daily. Use the hashtag AskCBD. We'll be back with more right after this.